side of the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Ray Guarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Get your sleigh bells ready, get your reindeer greased, get your sleds a-sledding, and get ready for Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show on Long Island, with your host, Ray Guarino, his XO wingman, and confidant, Joe D.
Yeah, that's me. I have to go fix my roof after that one, because when that guy shows up...
Oh, yeah, when this heavy metal sled lands on your roof...
Yeah, watch
shingles
out.
Shingles are flying.
Good thing I have a roofer in the family.
That's a good idea. We are doing our Christmas extravaganza show today, because no one else is around, so...
The place is empty, pretty much... I guess we really should get that car off the jack stands in the other studio, huh?
Yeah, they figured they'd let us in and play around. So
it was nice and warm in here, so I figured, why not? Now's a good time to do a little grease.
Yeah, better than being out in a cold shop somewhere. I do have to tell you, Joe, you can call us today if you want, 516-572-7440. We'll take your calls and talk about your automotive concerns.
Right.
But this season was pretty cool because there's always parties to go to and things, and... I had four this year that were pretty cool. The first one kicked off with you at the UD.
Yes, the UD party is always a landmark in the calendar for sure.
So having a party in a parking garage is one thing. That's pretty cool. You know, that's something that not many people get to do.
Oh, hell yeah. You know, especially when you get to lean on some very interesting hardware while you're while you're knocking back a couple and eating Christmas cookies. And
that's what you call Dougie these days? Because I was leaning on him quite a bit.
Yeah, but, well, he's always like, he's basically hardware, I'm the software. You know. But it's pretty good. As long as you don't, like, fall over and dent nothing. You know,
right.
It's not a big deal.
Or you would get dented, maybe, on stuff.
Seriously.
But I kind of followed that one up with a trip to the local motorcycle shop at Rolling Thunder. We had a party over there.
Got to go to that one,
which is always good. You know, Gerard and Tom always put on a great spread over there and have lots of holiday cheer.
Biker parties. Yes.
Yeah. Not like they used to be.
Okay.
Not like they used to be, because the majority of the people now are old, like us.
Right.
And, you know... More interested in the food.
There was more conventional stuff on the spit being turned around this year, I guess.
Exactly.
I'm sure there are a couple people that were very relieved about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Then a couple weeks ago, last week, got to go to the junkyard, Jimmy's Junkyard, with the Mikes. Went with Mike.
I was flat on my back for that one.
Yep,
yeah.
That was when you got hurt. You were out of commission.
Yeah,
that was a good party. That was something that, again, you just until you've
a
been
party
to
in a junkyard.
Party,
yeah,
yeah. Until you've been to a party in a junkyard, you don't know what you're missing, especially a junkyard like that.
True. That's right up there with a parking garage party. Yeah.
And then just this past Thursday, I was at Mike's shop at Celebrity Chase Collision for a body shop party.
Wow.
So, you know, it's like, you know, some people go to the Millridge Inn.
Powdered sugar has a whole different meaning when you're in a place full of body dust.
Yeah. You know, but some people go to these fancy places and all sorts of nice table settings and linens, and you got to wear nice clothes. What better than, like, you know, a parking garage, a junkyard, a motorcycle shop, and a body shop to have a party in?
You're hanging with your boys or girls, you know what I mean?
Let's keep it amongst us.
Right, yeah. You know, you're with your good friends, you know what I mean? You're having a good time. Maybe, hopefully you're not out there like twisting wrenches and getting greasy. You're just kind of hanging around talking about twisting wrenches and getting greasy.
It's always different. And you know, we saw this at the UD, but I saw it at all these other places. When you're at an event with guys or girls and girls who work for a living, and now they're wearing like, they're not their work clothes.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like, and not dressed up, because it's like, you know, we don't really do that.
Just
we
not
have to.
Greasy.
Yeah, just nice. Like, wow, you look good with a regular shirt on. Holy
right,
crap,
right. It's like
that.
I didn't smell you from across the room. That 90 weight must obviously be part of your other wardrobe.
Well, there's no name tag. Where's your name on your?
Seriously, yeah. You know. I mean, it's good to see people in a slightly different background.
Yeah,
a different venue there. You know what I mean?
And it's also good to see people this year and of last year kind of coming back with a little bit of spirit. You know, that was kind of gone for a while, and I'm glad to see it's kind of coming back. It was just very nice because people lost it for a while there, and then over the last 10 years, I'd say there was a bit of a lapse where people just kind of didn't feel like going out of the way or partying, and now I see it coming back a little, at least in the circles I travel in.
Sure, yeah, that's part of it, because maybe, you know, stuff hangs over your head during the course of the year or whatever, and
yeah.
You know, that's another thing about getting a little older is that, you know what? You're not going to have that many more of these.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
So you might as well. It's
no, that's the conversation we all have, right?
Yeah, it's
some that we never
kind
really want to bring up.
Yeah, it's some of the very Charles Dickens Christmas Carol,
yeah.
Ghost of Christmas, whatever the hell. But you know what?
Right.
It's like, seize the day.
Yeah.
Get out there. Hang with your friends. Knock back one or two.
Yeah.
One or two, so that way in case you're driving.
Right.
Unless, of course, you know, you're amongst the 1% who can have the chauffeur pick them up. But
there you go. Yeah, that's always nice.
Or the 3% that have the wives pick you up.
Okay.
And it's like,
that.
What are you doing?
Yeah, yeah.
Why do you smell like that?
Pick you up again?
Did you just throw up on my seat? Oh, wait a minute, we're flashing, and it ain't red and green.
Oh, well, in that case, we will. Well, we need headphones here.
Yeah, we got. We're putting all this stuff on here. Here we go.
Let's do this and say hi, you're all at the Motor Mouths.
Merry Christmas, gentlemen.
Hey, Merry Christmas, Bob.
Merry Christmas, ho ho.
I trust you guys are okay.
We are.
Yeah, we're still standing.
You know, it's pretty cool that this. Christmas holidays on a Monday, that way we can still see the family early, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Sometimes the calendar actually works in our favor.
Yeah, you know, it's very, very rarely, but it's nice because we're going to have a full house, you know?
Oh, that's good.
Fantastic, yeah.
And I just wanted to wish you guys a Merry Christmas. Last week's program, I envisioned your guest from Massachusetts.
Uh-huh.
Working on three cars, maybe four cars, as he was talking to you guys.
Yeah, he struck us as that type of guy too. He's
he doesn't slow down.
Yeah,
that was
he's in there
really
up to his hips, man.
Program.
Yeah, no, he knows his stuff when it comes to that.
Coming down to the Motor Mouth Person of the Year soon.
Uh-oh.
Oh boy,
I don't know,
it's coming. I haven't made the decision yet, but it's coming soon.
The judges
are
still out.
Only the programs that I've been able to hear if I wasn't away, you know.
Right.
I don't know if you heard this yet, but at the end of last week's show, Bob, we did address the question you had the week prior about what you saw on Garage Squad with the flywheel on the Ford.
Right. Now I heard part of that. Can you elaborate on that for me just for a moment?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. If I remember correctly,
this is a real forehead slapper.
Yeah. What you had said was you heard them say that when they went to start the car, they put a 289 engine in, that the host said the weight of the flywheel was such that it impeded the starter and it was grinding. It wouldn't let the car start.
That's what I had thought I had heard, that
right.
the pressure, the actual weight of the flywheel on the gear that pops out on the start was too much for that gear.
Right.
Now,
okay. I saw the show once and kind of remembered hearing something like that, too. So I went back. It wasn't on demand. It's still not on demand.
Okay.
And it's like 3 or 4 weeks old already. I happened to catch the episode where they replayed it the day before last. It was last Saturday, right before the show. And I actually was able to video that clip. What he said was, and it was easy for you to miss it because I kind of misunderstood it the first time, too. What he said was the weight on the flywheel, which is kind of what you said, the weight on the flywheel. We thought they meant the weight of the flywheel on the starter. But
yes.
No, there's actually balance weights welded to on the flywheel.
On the outer edge, yeah.
On the outer edge. And what they did is they went in, saw that that weight was hitting the starter, and they ground it down.
You know, it's funny you say that, and this is true. As you're saying that, right, I haven't taken many flywheels out of the car, but the one I did do with a friend on the Mach 1, it has a flat piece of weight that is actually to the reverse side of the flywheel. Is that the piece you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah. That would be it.
Wow.
Now,
holy cow, it goes back like 30 years.
Yeah, but you know, shows you
memory.
Nothing's changed. Now, Joe and I talked about this off air, and that's where the head slap moment came in, because we said, okay, obviously, if you grind off a weight on a flywheel, it's on there to balance the flywheel.
It's out of balance
now. So now you've put it out of. So now they may have made the car start for the TV show, but now at like 2,000 RPM, they're going to get a vibration that's like they're going to shake the floor of the car.
Well, I was saying, you know how like Lexus, you could balance the champagne glasses on the air cleaner,
right?
Well, this one we're going to put a mixer, and we're going to make ice cream floats or something, because that thing's shaking up, or martinis.
You know what I also find amazing?
Started.
Someone who can diagnose, saying that your flywheel is out of balance. If just say for argument's sake, you have a shim or a shake, mm-hmm. and someone's saying, "No, I know what it is. It's the balance of the weight on your flywheel." I mean, how do you know that?
You know, it's not that hard. It's not as hard as you think, because what you do is you isolate it.
Okay.
And vibrations in cars can be tough, but you look to see if it happens at speed. Is it under certain conditions? And with this one, it would happen with the engine idling or running with the car in neutral.
Okay, so not when it's under mechanical force, if you will.
It would actually do it both ways because
sure, because it's out of whack. That what it is that they couldn't add enough weight, or there was insufficient weights to the crankshaft itself. Like a lot of Chevys for many years had the weights internal. They drilled them right into the throes of the crankshafts.
Right.
And a lot of car companies, for whatever reason, decided to add them to the flywheel. You know what
now,
I mean?
Now, when that weight is put, last question, I'm not going to keep you.
It's okay.
I just as long as we're at it, I might as well learn it. So when the flywheel's manufactured, so they actually put it onto a spindle, something similar to a tire, or they put it onto a flat piece and then they weigh it? How would they put that weight on the face of the flywheel?
You want to do it like a tire. You want to do it with rotational inertia.
Okay.
You want the thing to spin.
Great.
And
okay.
Just like
not
even
that I'm going to be doing that, but
even a drive shaft or an axle bob, they put it in a chuck it in something that looks like a lathe, and spin it, and then they can check with it. You can check with a dial indicator for run out. That's one way to do it.
Or a strobe.
There's sonic ways of doing it. There's a lot of ways of doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And a lot of flywheels, because of the design of the engine, there's going to be a certain amount of weight there no matter what, mm-hmm. and it may be a little bit more or a little bit less, depending on that particular piece. In other words, another flywheel might have had a smaller piece.
Right,
just because it didn't require it.
Just
whereas
like tires on a car, some need a lot.
Exactly.
So yeah, that was the
thank
thing.
Thank you for another great year of programming, and I think I have somebody in mind for I have somebody in mind for the word-of-mouth person of the year.
Oh,
we await your decision, sir.
I'm going to get us into January, and I'm going to make sure that I get it correct from the programs that I listen to.
And then I think what we're going to do is this year, we did get the email already that we will be doing, the station will be doing fundraising again, I think, in March.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm on board.
So we'll see.
Any way I can help you guys, you know?
Well, maybe this year we'll get you on this show instead of on Rob's show.
Right.
Too funny, right?
This way we get one of our own.
Oh, God, you guys are great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, listen, I wish you a very Merry Christmas, and I guess we're going into the new year, just before the new year, before we speak.
That's right. We'll be here next week again. So,
We'll be here. The pre-hangover special.
Same back to you, Bob. Have a great great Christmas and enjoy
Jingle
time
bells,
with the family.
Bro.
Thanks, guys. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Right. Bye-bye.
That's good. That was our good friend, Bob. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, that. And now I'm really excited to find out who's going to be Person of the Year.
Oh, I know, right?
He's come up with some Lollapaloozas in the past.
You never know.
Definitely.
I figure we have a little festivity here. We could do a little, have our cat friends. We have cats that sing us in and out of the show. There's actually a cat programming the board today.
Yeah,
Fluffy.
Yeah, we gotta get. It's amazing what he does. There he goes.
Oh, he does everything.
Yeah, he's one smart cat.
There's cats in the front. We got cats in the back. So we'll just kind of roll with it.
Is that
we'll
the one Chris taught?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. And Chris was kind of a cat guy, not a hardcore cat guy, I don't think, but he'd been around him. He didn't like him, but
right, yeah.
I'm more the cat guy. So
the only thing is that litter box is kind of big, Ray.
Sometimes that you definitely have to do
maybe
that.
During the break I'll go grab the forklift.
That's a good idea.
Or the shop vac.
Excellent.
The shop vac. Better yet, let's make some noise.
All right, you know what we'll do? Let's make some noise. Let's go. We'll take a break and we'll come back with more Motor Mouth Radio, more Christmas programming here on WHPC in a minute. So keep it where you got it.
Hi, I'm Rob Leonard. Join me for the free-for-all every Sunday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. The free-for-all is a free-form mix of rock and roll. If you remember, rock radio used to mix it up, but now they just play Hotel California every 18 hours. It's not a law, but they're working on it. So join me for the free-for-all every Sunday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Replays every Saturday morning, 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. right here on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
Hey, this is Carlos Mary.
And I'm Mary Mary from Personal One Fitness in Mineola, New York.
And we love listening to Happy Hour on 90.3 WHPC because anything can happen.
Ed, have you ever stolen anything?
Yep.
Oh, what was it?
Some M&Ms at Home Depot.
What?
Sorry.
Low-end crime.
You asked the question. I got to be truthful, right?
Mrs. Ed, did you know you had a thief?
Come join the party with me, Rudy, at Happy Hour each Tuesday night at 7 p.m. here at the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC, or listen online at the iHeartRadio app.
Ray Guarino, Joe D, Motor Mouth Radio. We're trying to brush up on our cat ease here on this Christmas Eve installment of Motor Mouth Radio.
The feline language, yes.
We are trying, but, you know, sometimes it's not as easy as... Well, it's easier for me because I kind of live with it, but...
Right, yeah. No, I'm a dog guy.
That's true.
Yeah, you have multiple smaller animals. I have one large animal.
Yeah, we have a dog well. Yeah, we got a... Is that a shout-out to your dog?
Yeah.
Okay. Is the dog listening?
Yeah, she does.
Oh, good.
She does. She knows when different people come home. Knows the sound of the different cars when they pull up.
You know, I have the same thing at my house. Our dog, unfortunately, is kind of, he's getting a little older, so he doesn't hear as well. I think he's starting to go a little deaf. Like, I can come in the house and walk past him. Yeah, and he doesn't even look. But the cats know. They know when you're there, you know? So the animals have a lot more sensibility than we give them credit for.
They more than we give... We give them credit for, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Hey,
I got to tell you something about getting credit for something. I was wearing this shirt on Thursday. I was down at the shop. I went down to see Mike Jr. And
whose shirt is that, Ray?
Well, I'm going to tell you. It's part of the story. Mike said, hey, you want to hang in? The Snap-on guy is coming back in a minute. I'm like, oh God.
Oh, the pusher.
You're going to make me do this, are you?
You got to dig that song up for me, Ray.
I have it. We got it.
Oh, I'll bet.
I got it. That's it's on the Easy Rider soundtrack. So the Snap-on guy comes in. His name is Bill. And we... shake hands and Mike tells him, like, yeah, Ray's a buyer from way back, he's a heavy duty, blah, blah, blah. So the guy's about our age, and we start talking, and I'm asking him questions about tool trends and invited him on the show, of course.
Okay.
So he looks over and he's looking at this shirt and he peers over and he says, Steve Linden. Of course, the shirt isn't brought to Steve Linden's name. And I said, yeah. Because this shirt gets more attention than a Motor Mouth Radio shirt.
It sure does,
right?
Yeah.
So I said...
I wear it at work sometimes, and I'm with you.
I said to him, yeah, Steve's a good friend of the show. We've had him on. He goes, oh, yes, I live near Steve. And they'd had various interactions and whatnot, and he spoke highly of Steve, which I definitely agreed with.
He's a dude, Steve, yep.
And I sent Steve an email later that night or the next day and told him the story. I said, Steve, your shirt once again gets more attention than our own shirts. And Steve backed it up that Snap-on guy, Bill, is a great guy. But I want to tell you some other stuff that happened after we take this call and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Ray, Joe, Billy G.
Hey, Billy.
Hey, Mr. Velvet.
Merry Christmas, man. How are you?
Merry Christmas, Bill.
Merry Christmas.
Good. Now, listen, just to jump in quick on the thing with the flywheel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I had my 427 and my 66 vet, I decided to go with a low tanning assembly from Eagle Engineering in California.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually told me, do you have the flywheel you want to use?
Right.
I said, I have one. They said, send it to us.
Okay.
So that's sort of externally balanced everything back to my flywheel. You know, I had a Hayes flywheel at the time.
Right.
And so from their harmonic balancer all the way back to my flywheel. And they actually made the adjustment on their end so they didn't have mm-hmm. to screw around with my flywheel.
That's the best way to do it.
Yes.
It really is.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah.
In fact, when I had Bill Dugan rebuild my Pontiac engine, I provided my flywheel with him as well. And I said, listen, this way, if you want to do the whole rotating mass together, you got
right.
it. This is what's going in the car. And
he right.
did that as well. And you know what? Yeah, it is nice and smooth.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So I stayed out of the abyss and not go to the UD.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Dougie, I know. You know, it was one of those things, stop for one. There's no such thing as stopping for one.
Oh, no, definitely not.
Right.
Yeah,
so.
As we wandered out of there after 11.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir. Yep. So you understand. Yeah. Joe, I'm going to Mass at Holy Trinity tonight. I hope to see you. Well, you know, they may have to fill in his altar boys.
That's a call out.
Yep, yep. I'll have to go find the cassock and the surplus over there.
How about the fuming incense stencher?
Oh, yeah, that thing, too.
Yes.
Except I got some way of getting the lightning marks out of it.
But other than that, I just wanted to make sure I chimed in and grabbed you guys. Ray, I always appreciate the emails and I got to give you my other site because sometimes I get blocked at the other one.
Oh, but, yeah, do that.
I do forward them and then I do look at them.
And I know I told you, we're going to have Marty Shore on to talk about his day one book. And I'm actually going to send Marty an email, see if he can do this with us next Sunday.
Okay.
So I know we invited you into the studio. So this is like an early warning that it may be next one. If you're available, you're certainly welcome to come in. And
no, I appreciate it. Yeah. You know, I hear we're getting a storm coming in.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think next weekend could be
really?
A little tough on the travel. But next Sunday,
you got some good weather forecasting. I don't see past like a 2-3 days.
Right. Listen, that's I know how to run the car show. You know, I. The forecasting. It's all in the forecast.
You know people. Bill knows people. He knows
we know people. Yeah.
I got this guy.
I got a guy, right.
We all get a guy. But I got Santa's sleigh out today. I got the Red 67 out.
Oh, sweet.
Definitely.
There's nothing like the crack of those pipes in the weather like today.
You know, yeah.
Yeah.
I was just telling Joe, I wanted to take my car out today, but I got to turn and burn after the show. I got to pick stuff up and then head to the family so that I'll leave it where it is.
I got you.
Maybe I'll take it out tomorrow.
But that's what this is all about, being with family, having a great day, remember our Lord Jesus Christ, of course. That's what it's all about, and of course, one another, all right?
And Billy, we want to thank you for being part of our family, because without our lives wouldn't be nearly as rich.
A big contribution.
Oh,
thank
my
you.
God. Hold on. I'm getting dizzy. I got to sit down.
I know. Hey, listen. It's all good. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much for the call,
appreciate
Bill.
It. All the best.
Okay, Bill.
Take care.
Talk to you.
Christmas, man.
Bye-bye.
That was good old Billy G from up in Whitestone, the Malba Show, Retro Garage, and all those other cool endeavors.
And general just hanger around of,
all around nice guy.
Yeah, for sure.
Corvette purveyor and all.
Yeah.
But,
I wonder if I can get a couple persons flung off of that Corvette.
Yeah, right?
You know, that'd be pretty good, you know, if you can't have heavy metal Santa Claus.
Yeah.
You might want just have to have a big block sleigh.
I'm down for that. Hey, listen to this. On the back of my Pearls Before Swine calendar for yesterday, no, it's for Friday, here was a little trivia factoid. This is pretty cool. I thought this was interesting. Between Thanksgiving and New Year's Day, which of course encompasses Hanukkah and Christmas, household waste increases by 25%.
Mm.
Now, I guess they're talking about nationally or even if they're talking world, 25%. I mean, you know, Joe, being in marketing, engineering, and product stuff, you know, when you talk about a 1% or sometimes a 0.5%, that's a huge...
Yeah, so that's a lot of garbage.
Well, yeah. Now, in the United States, trash from wrapping paper and shopping bags total more than 4 million tons.
Whoa.
That's some heavy freaking paper, my friend.
I just thought that was my house.
Yeah, I know. Well, I contribute a couple thousand pounds. Let's see if we have some tonnage on the phone where we say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hi, I'm on with the Motor Mouths. Happy Christmas. What's up, guys? It's John.
Hey, what's going on, John?
Not a whole hell of a lot. Listen, I got a bug with a car. You guys talk to, right?
Car with a bug.
All right, we got Honda John, the one and the only on the phone, who has a problem with a 2002 Santa Fe.
It's an 03 Santa Fe.
Okay. Lay it out for Joe. We did some pre-show survey on this, but lay it out for Joe so that we, the listeners know what we're talking about.
Okay. It's an 03 Santa Fe.
Mm-hmm.
Six-cylinder, 2.7 liter. That's the middle one.
Right.
And what I'm getting is an intermittent hard start.
Right.
Now, typically, you walk up to the car, you hang your way in the door, and just hit the key, she'd start right up.
Okay.
And what I get now is, depending on how it feels, usually not the first start of the day, but depending on how it feels, as I'll get in the car, I'll spin it a while, nothing. I'll spin it a while, nothing. Pin my foot to the floor, keep me from loading it up, get it spinning, let my foot up, pump it once, and she catches.
Okay.
Now, I had experienced this once already after I wrecked the recirc valve on the back of the motor for the vapor can.
Cast the purge, yeah.
And they tell me that that happens from overfilling a tank. You know, you gun it up and you click it and you click it and you click it and does something, backs up crap from the charcoal canister.
Generically,
clogs the valve.
Generically, yes, but on a Hyundai Kia type of car, those purge valves suck.
There you go.
I can't tell you how many I do. As a matter of fact, you know, here's the main clue. When Dorman starts making them, you know what I mean? And the guy at the parts store says, yeah, I got nine of them.
Yeah, there's a reason.
What does that tell you? Yeah, they throw codes. So, you fail the evap monitor. They breathe raw fuel. Yeah.
What happened, John, is you said you did some regular under-the-hood maintenance and took the engine cover off and saw that a hose was missing off the pressure regulator.
So when it went in the dumper the first time, and I got tired of chasing it around, and that was only happening when I'd fill up. It would do it the one time at the gas station, and then I'd drive it all week until I gassed up again, and it would screw me then. So having survived that and had an idea of what I was looking at, I pull the cover off the car, I look where it is, and I said, nope, I got to sit on top of the motor to reach this, not touching it.
Mm-hmm.
Car had 100 and maybe 20,000 miles on it, original plugs and wires. I said, look, okay, time for a tune-up. I'm not doing it. So I bring it out. Have the guy do the plugs and wires, which means pulling the intake manifold off the thing and all of that.
Which is common these days. A lot of cars are like that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I had him do the valve in the back. Mm-hmm. I get the car back, happy as a pig, boy. Thing was running great. The dress cover was on. Never thought about the motor again. And I'm messing with the thing, and I noticed I was starting to get a rub on one of the ignition wires. So I take the dress cover off, and I look across, and there's an open vacuum tap on a manifold. I said, now what the hell is this from? And I find a little dangly hose, and I put the hose back on. It looks like the hose was off the fuel pressure regulator at the front rail.
Okay.
And I've been driving the car.
Okay.
And then she starts with this intermittent crap with the startup.
Right.
I said, oh, now what am I looking at here? So I go back, I pull the hose off, and I thought it was behaving. But again, it's something strange chasing the car around. And I get a smell of gas.
Okay.
But it's not unburnt exhaust gas. It's
fuel.
It's like
fuel.
Wet gas. You know, when you load up a...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When she loads up, you get a smell of the air cleaner.
Right.
Well, this is at the back of the motor somewhere. I can't find a leak. I don't see leaks along the fuel rail. I don't see dripping fuel. It doesn't smell strong enough to be, like, puddling anywhere. But it's just that wet, under-the-hood gasoline smell.
Do you have a fire extinguisher?
Yes, and I know how to use it.
Good,
having set fire to a motorcycle once.
Yeah, you should keep that kind of... Well, you drove Fiats, too, so you should keep that handy, yeah. But besides that...
But it runs. It runs great. I don't have any trouble with it outside of this stupid startup issue.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't carry on. When the other one would go out, when it went out the first time and you finally pump it clear and get it to fire, she'd puke all of this crap out the exhaust pipe. I don't get
black
that.
Smoke?
Yeah, I get the car starts. I don't purge anything out the exhaust pipe. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Once it starts, it's running, and it's okay. And for a while, I thought it was short cycling and puddling something that I wasn't letting it lay long enough. I'd get to work with the car, it'd lay all day. I'd come out and she'd do it to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be driving the car around, no problems. Couple of days going, I'd get in the car and she'd do it to me. So
now you said the fuel mileage is off too, right, John?
Yeah, the fuel mileage started to drop a lot.
How much is a lot?
Okay. Tank's good for easy 300 miles. I'm coming down high twos. I started to blame it on the weather.
Okay,
and,
yeah.
And the oxygenated gas, right. With the alcohol and mm-hmm. all that crap.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Which so, is legit.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not equipped for it. It's not light in a light. I'm not pulling any codes off it. I can't do any runtime diagnostics. I don't have the equipment for that. Mm-hmm.
Right. Right.
But, you know, like I said, the first thing I did was I went around looking for holes.
Right.
I don't get any holes.
Yeah. Understandable.
Yeah, sure, sure.
I'm trying to pin it to temperature.
Yeah, we were talking about leaky injectors and things like that. Joe and I were talking about that even before the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Joe, now that could be, you can look at injector duty cycle and fire rates with a...
Yeah, you can look at on time, you can look at fuel trims.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can see if it's adding or subtracting fuel. Like, I mean, in other words, if you've got fuel that the computer is not requesting, your fuel trims are going to go negative. You know, generally speaking, the rule of thumb is that you want somewhere between positive and negative 10 on both your long and your short-term fuel trims. But you might have 12, 15, something like that, not set alight, but definitely there's something wrong. Now, this also happened after you plugged that vacuum hose back in?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. My thought was, okay, it's open, so now I at least got the air leak. Let me put it back on and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Yeah, because it came off the manifold. So if nothing else, at idle, you had a vacuum leak, a manifold vacuum leak, which is significant.
Which the car was compensating
which
for.
Which should make the car run kind of rough.
Should have lit something. I didn't get a bounce or nothing.
Yeah, that's odd.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's what I said. And it's a good, strong vacuum. It's not like it's not like the hose was off it and there was something obstructing the port.
All right, so you verified it. Yeah,
Oh, yeah, when I pulled the hose off this time, with the car running, you pull the hose off, feel the tug when you pull it, and it makes that sucking noise when it lets go.
Right.
And nothing. Nothing changed.
That's kind of like, when your kids come and ask you for money.
Yeah,
the socket opens, and you hear that sucking noise at your wallet being emptied, right?
Right. Yeah, it just goes into the black hole.
Yeah, I just don't want the car to do that. It's bad enough the kids do that.
Right.
Well, I have seen fuel pressure regulators leak on those cars. On a lot of different cars, but I've seen a couple of Hyundais do it. What you may want to do there, depending on your approach. I mean, GMs, which I've seen like any number of, what I'll do is I'll snap the throttle a bunch of times. All right. You know, like create high pressure, then let go and create high vacuum with, because
try and bounce the valve loose.
Right.
Yeah, try to bounce it. And then as you bounce it for the last time, pop the hose off and see if it squirts you. Or snap the throttle, take the hose off, shut the car off, and then see if anything drips out of the hose. Sometimes I've had to catch them by getting like a piece of clear line and making a loop of it. You know what I mean? So put it on the regulator, make a little loop so that way it kind of like a crazy straw.
If anything
puddles, you can see it in the hose.
Right, exactly. And see if it's doing that. Because when you have, cold start, a little extra fuel, not a big deal. Especially in this cold weather,
the
car probably welcome it. All right. As the engine warms up, though, all right, now it's too much fuel. That's why you had to sit there and play with the gas pedal. That would be one thing I would be that I would do, just because I've seen it enough. It's cheap and easy to do. A little bit of fish tank line there. You know what I mean?
I tell you what, John, hang on with us for a minute. I've got to take a scheduled break here while Joe chews on this. And hang through the commercial. First, I have to tell you that this is a show that could be right up your wheelhouse, John. It's called Profumo d'Italiano, or Profumo d'Italia. They spelled it phonetically in the book for people who don't know how to speak Italianese. It's pretty funny.
Italianese.
Is it smelly Italian cars?
No. That's us. That's our show. This one's Thursday at 5 p.m. It's Rita Monti. Brings you the best in Italian music and culture, along with poetry interviews with Italian-American personalities. That's like us.
Yeah.
And guys like you. Rita's happy to hear your phone calls and requests on this live weekly program. So that being said, we're going to take a quick break. John, you sit where you are. Joe is deep into the computer here, and we'll come back. But, here's a Christmas song, John, I think you'll appreciate, on Motormouth Radio, and we'll be back in a minute, so keep it where you got it.
This is Rita Monte, Would you like to take a trip to romantic Italy with me? Let's go together every Thursday with Profumi d'Italia. You will hear and savor Italy's soul with music from yesterday and today. Learn about Italy's museums, countryside, restaurants, festivals, and wineries. Most of all, you will learn about Italy's history and its people. Thursdays at 5 p.m., experience the essence of Italy on the Voice of Nassau Community College 90.3 WHPC.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 6 on Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities. An occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 6 on Revelations. Right here on the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
All right, we're back. We got bells jingling, Axl Rose cooking and some kind of crap, and Honda John on the line.
Yep, still here.
All right, so...
Well, we didn't scare him off. That's good.
No, we're not going to scare John off that. You kidding me? He's a pro.
I was doing a quick search across my one of my favorite websites, IATN, International Automotive Technicians Network.
And it didn't sell a car.
Yeah.
No, they suggested parking in a place far, in a safe area and just watch it burn. But nice. If that was not an option due to monetary considerations there. The regulator thing has come up a couple times. For sure. That and, of course, that purge solenoid. Personally, seeing as how you're not throwing any codes, and you really don't have a chance to monitor things like the purge solenoid operation or fuel trims or any of that good stuff, I would say that my little clear hose trick would make the most sense right about now. Or do you still have that vacuum hose connected?
Yeah.
Okay. I would... Now, I don't know. I don't know if I would let that thing just hang. Yeah. So if it does decide to pee, that it's going to spray raw fuel.
Yeah, manifold fire.
Yeah. Well, there you go. And just make sure that you have the appropriate weenies and marshmallows.
Yeah. There you go.
Ready to go, just in case. But if that's not an option, I would say the clear hose is where you want to be. That would be the first thing I would check. Unfortunately, with the purge solenoid, which, like I said, they're really bad. You'd have to really do some checks with the scan tool, not the least of which on many Hyundai Kia products. You could actually do an EVAP self-test where you could check the operation of it, and the car will tell you, hey, this thing ain't working, as a functional test. But that's kind of a up-level scan tool type of thing, which may not be necessary yet. Although, if you wanted to just pop the hose off off that valve on the car side, not the engine side, and kind of just turn it down and shake and see if you have any little carbon particles in there.
See if any falls.
I have seen a number of early 2000 Hyundai Kia cars where self-destructed the canister,
the purge canister.
In which case that stuff just gets Trump all over the place. It's kind of like
there was other cars that did that too.
There's a lot of cars. I mean, over the years, especially people that overfill their tanks. But sometimes it just happens.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So it's the kind of thing where you just like pop the line, shake it. If anything comes out, okay, and it's about to get ugly. You don't have any problems with filling the car up, do you?
No. Okay. She fills up. Doesn't buck. Doesn't carry on. Doesn't bark any place. There's no burping. Yeah. No carrying on.
Okay.
And she starts right after.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So when the valve stuck me the first time, every time I would fill the damn car, I'd have to play with it to get it running, and then it was fine.
Right. That's because it was inhaling raw fuel vapors from that direction, because that valve should be shut if the car is off.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's funny that didn't show a check engine light, but then again, sometimes the logic of different car manufacturers kind of show that they're not American.
Yeah, right. John, you got to buy a 68 Cutlass.
There you go.
Yeah, I was looking at an early 70s Datsun Roadster.
Oh, cool.
All right.
If you can get one of them without the panels rotten off, it's like a lawnmower. What can go wrong?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they're pretty straight up and simple as long as parts availability is good, sure.
Right, right.
But then again, they have a following, especially out in Southern California.
Yeah, they do.
So you got a shot at that, sure. It's not like you're going to find one parked on every street corner.
No, no.
Yeah, and it doesn't have the cargo space the Santa Fe does either.
No.
Right, well.
So you get your trade-offs, right?
It's all about
cars. Cars are always like that.
Yeah.
You know, that's why we have multiple cars.
Exactly.
Yes.
We always have.
Minivan, two-seater,
yeah.
Tractor-trailer,
yeah.
Large sedan, whatever.
Throw in a motorcycle for fun.
You know, yeah, there you go.
We're all good.
Some of us, tricycles.
Yeah, whatever, whatever.
But that's where that's
John.
All right, I'm going to go take a look at it, see if I find a fish tank hose, and I can reach this easier than I can reach the EVAP valve, so I'll start there.
As things come up and I find out more through Joe, I will certainly let you know.
Yeah, I would definitely leave it on there a couple of days and see, especially if you have an event.
Yeah.
If you have an event, pop the hood, go out there and look real quick. So before it gets sucked in. Yeah, there you go.
Right. The doctor calls it that, don't they?
Yeah, and then they stuck something in my chest, drag me to a hospital and stick things in your body. I don't want that kind of event.
I know.
Right. You don't want to know where they want to put the scan tool.
Yeah, I don't want to know about it. No. That's okay. I'll pass on it.
All right, John.
We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Bye.
Take care.
All right, that was the immeasurable Judge Honda John, friend for a long time. John and I go way back. He's one of the original Levitt and crew. As I was coming in, he was leaving, and then he came back.
Right.
And he's still there.
Right, see?
I left, he stayed.
He met you, and he's like, you know what? The fun is just beginning.
Yeah, right. Oh, boy. No, actually, there was noise on the floor where there was cubicles, and the guy that who I ended up working for, the metallurgist guy, said, pay no attention to that noise over there. There's a technician over there who's just a little noisy. It was John. And we got to be very close friends.
The best kind.
Yeah.
More noise. Let's bring it on.
Let's go back to the phones and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
What's up, guys? How you been?
Hey, Vic. How are you?
Hey, SOS, you know?
Yeah, I hear you.
I have a question to ask you.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Hey, wait a minute. They're supposed to ask us questions.
I know.
You know? That's actually the day after Christmas, that Boxing Day thing where everybody reverses roles.
Okay.
All right, so we'll have early Boxing Day. Go ahead. Have at it, Ray.
We got past a name of a guy who has a mini car museum out in Bellport. And I spoke with him yesterday. He's going to be on the show in the coming weeks. He's going to talk about the museum and his projects. He's looking for someone to build chassis for him. And I said, Drew, the only guy I know who built chassis was Bernie Shacker. And
yeah, Bernie's in the VA home.
Okay. I didn't know what his condition was right now. Yeah. So I said, but I'll talk to Vic and I'll find out if there's anybody who may be next in line to do something like that.
Yeah, I got some people.
Okay, we'll talk about that because I don't know what his deal is. That'll be between them and them. So,
yeah.
So what's up with you and you?
Nothing. I'm doing an interesting one now. I'm doing a little fire department sea truck. It's a 49 Ford car, and we're putting a 348 with trips and a 4-speed in it.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Where'd the 348 come from? Where'd the 348 come from?
Some guy built it and was going to put it in his 55, but then realized he had to cut the firewall on a painted car, so he didn't.
Ah, big deal.
Man.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah, you can touch up the paint.
They make a kit for it.
Really?
And I bought the brackets. They moved the motor back 3 inches, and I called the guy that made the kit. It's Jamco.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, and you use the Nova pan. I said, this is a 348. Oh, nobody's ever done this one. So the way it works out is you can't use a rubber motor mount.
Okay.
You have to use a solid motor mount. And I went with the exhaust manifolds because you can't put a header on it
because
of where the box is.
Right, right, right.
So I couldn't, the exhaust manifold wouldn't work, so I said, let's switch the motor mount, the exhaust manifolds around.
Oh, and front exit?
No, they middle exit.
Oh, okay.
Only a 65 had a rear dump.
Okay, okay.
The rest of them had middle exits.
All right.
So I can tweak a pipe in there, but you have to take out the left, the rear motor mount bolt.
Oh, geez.
That's how tight. Yeah.
Wow.
Now I went with the alternator that they make, and it hits the chassis. So I had to extend the bracket.
Yeah.
But the only way to get any adjustment in it is the threaded section where the front and back of the alternator screw together.
Right.
it actually hits a tit on the motor, so we had to grind about an inch off of that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay.
Well, that's the essence of hot rodding. If it don't fit, make it fit.
That's right. That's why you got torches and welders.
Right. You know? You said that's a 1940 what car?
Nine.
It's a 49 Ford, right?
Ford car, yeah.
Okay.
And we took the rear out and put in the 69 Firebird rear, which bolts right into it, exactly.
Oh, cool.
But the Firebird has a 2.5-inch pad, and the 49 has a 2-inch pad. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to pack quarter inch of steel on each side of the bracket.
Okay. Yeah, there you go.
Which will work.
Just make it fit.
And this car actually had a torque arm.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was a wide power racing truck. It had a torque arm from the rear end to the transmission.
That's nice. Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, well, I cut that out.
Okay, yeah, it's gone, yeah. Yeah, now, yeah. Now it's standing against the garage wall outside. I can see that, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm going to thin the herd out, too. I'm going to get rid of a couple.
Oh, okay. All right. You know, you should give tours, because to see your place is something that people should need to do. It's definitely an event. It's cool.
Yeah, well.
It's not your typical driveway.
No, certainly not. Ask the neighbors. They'll tell you.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm gonna get rid of 46. I gave the convertible to my daughter, and I'm going to sell the Topolino.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yep.
Okay. Well, that's a tough one to let go.
Yeah, well, I don't fit in it anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
I was 180 pounds when I built that car.
Yeah.
Yeah, I missed that on the way up, so.
Yeah, it is a little bit of a tight squeeze in that car, that's for sure.
Yeah, 37 inches wide, 2 seats.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You really got to like the person next to you.
You sure do.
Mm.
Or you become one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's something. Very good.
But I actually have to run down to Carlisle in the next week or two.
Oh?
Carlisle. Yeah.
Okay.
What's going on down there?
I bought a set of 55 Nomad quarter panels from a guy in Ohio.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
And he goes, come on up. I said, it's 6.5 hours.
Yeah.
He goes, I'll meet you. And it's an hour away for him.
Oh.
I said, no. He goes, I'll tell you what, I'll meet you in Carlisle.
Okay.
So.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
Because I'm just grabbing a bunch of parts for that 55. I want to start on it next year. And boy, if you want to build a Hemi, my God, is it expensive.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, because it's hot.
Old school real deal Hemi, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you know, like, and in the world of, like, in the Pontiac world, it got cheaper to build a Pontiac engine than it ever was. And now, but, you know, the Hemis are always hot, and now that's, they just follow them. If they can get the money, they're going to do it.
600 for pistons, 600 for rods.
Wow.
Yeah,
it's a lot of money.
It's up there. Yeah, but not many 55s have Hemis in them. So.
No, that's for sure. That's for sure.
Well, if anybody was going to do it, it's going to be you.
Yeah, but I got to buy the adapter first. I got to buy the water pump adapter. I got to buy the starter adapter, all that, so I know where I'm going to set the motor.
Right.
And I got to buy the fender well headers.
Sure.
But I picked up a 331 block for lineup.
Okay, good.
Guy came in, we were talking, and goes, yeah, my friend's got one. He went to an aluminum Hemi, and he got rid of this one. So,
beautiful.
So, all is good. And I also picked up a set of Donovan valve covers with Keep Black breathers.
Sweet.
Yeah, $1,000 worth. And a Y-end low slung dual quad.
Oh, so, very nice.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's going to be cool.
About the cheapest thing on that motor.
Yeah, I bet. Well, we're gonna be interested to keep in touch with you on that one, Vic. And into the new year, of course, we want to follow you on all the projects.
Yeah, too many.
Yeah. Well, that's all right.
Well, at least you never
too many guys.
Yeah.
All right, man.
All right.
I'll let you go. Oh, a quick one. You were talking about garbage, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you said how much?
Yes.
The poorer the house, the more garbage.
Really?
The poorer the neighborhood. Yup.
Oh.
Because I was in the garbage business for years.
Okay. Wow, that's interesting.
Because rich people go out, poor people take out.
There you go. That's a good idea. Yeah, that makes sense. Makes sense.
Yep.
Well, thanks for that, Vic.
And, you got it, man.
We'll talk to you soon.
Have a good one and all that stuff, you know. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Vic.
All right, Vic.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, man.
All right. We're going to take our last.
I like that. Wisdom.
That is pretty cool, and Vic would know that, too. That's absolutely
leave it to Vic
true.
To come up with that particular axiom over there.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to go out a little bit of a jazzy axiom here, Joe. This should be the cut that is all the cool drum stuff in. And we'll take our last break. We'll come back quick, and then we'll say goodbye and go do our stuff on Motormouth Radio. Ray Guarino, Joe D. Let's hit it.
easier to listen to the voice of Nassau Community College on your phone.
Stay connected to your favorite radio station anywhere you go on the iHeartRadio app.
Never miss shows like the Nassau Morning Madhouse, It's Saucy, or the Radio Rumble Again.
Streaming 24/7, 365. Listen to WHPC everywhere.
iHeartRadio is radio and unlimited music all in one app.
Listen live now in the iHeartRadio app and at iHeartRadio.com.
Just search for 90.3 WHPC.
Every sound, every note, including the bass, on this track is played by a monkey.
American Hit Radio, Wednesdays and Fridays at 5 p.m. on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Swinging back into our next segment, Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D., with a caller on the line. Hello, caller, you're on with the Motormouths.
Hey, Ray, it's...
Whoa.
What did you do?
That, we lost him. Call back, whoever that was. I'm
was
sorry.
Was something he said?
No,
I just heard, hey, Ray.
Yeah, it was a little glitch, so we just fixed the glitch. Yes, please call back, caller.
Stop working the board with a hammer.
It's the cat. It's the freaking cat.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I see the cat over there going...
Silly humans.
As cats always do, yes.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. They, see, if they can't trip you, they're going to mess up your board.
Oh, they do it to me all the time. So, hey, what do
you... Yeah, call back, you
That's
know?
That's life.
Hey, yeah. What are you going to do, right?
Yeah.
See what happens? It's the magic of live radio.
It is. Well, hopefully that will call back. But, you know, just jump back a couple stories. When I met that Snap-on dealer, Bill,
yeah,
we were talking, and I asked him who he took over for, because I knew the guys in the area. And I started dropping the names of my old dealers. And mm-hmm. the first dealer I had, Neil Pascarella, his eyes got wide. He says, really? You had Neil as a dealer? Neil was one of the guys who set the platform for the way we do business today. He was like one of the early pioneers.
He set the bar, huh?
And I said, wow, really? Because, I mean, that was in the 80s. Snap-on wasn't new by any stretch.
Oh, hell no.
And but to hear that was really nice because Neil was, I mean, he was one of those guys who would do anything for you.
Right.
And I did find out, you know, I have my Snap-on screwdrivers are the black ones.
Right.
They started falling apart. And he says, yeah, we know they do that. Just give me, we'll exchange them for you. Even to this day, 30 years later, that's Snap-on. Back to the phone. Hi, Quali, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Merry Christmas, guys.
Hi, Jim.
Jim.
I figured, you know, I'd spend Christmas Eve calling my favorite two car guys.
Who were they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, they weren't around, so I called you.
Well,
that's what happens.
See, we're about number three on the speed dial, right? What can I say?
What are you going to do?
Two and a half.
I'd love to see the other half of that one.
Anyway.
Joe, as long as I'm high on yours, that's all I need.
There you go.
Yeah, you're high enough. You're high enough. You're in the top 10. You're with the top 10 favorite car guys.
Cool. So it's going.
Yeah,
I
just called in to say Merry Christmas to you guys. I think the show has been great all year, and here's hoping 2018 is going to be a whole lot better.
Well, you know, better is a relative term.
To go better.
I'm kind of happy for where I was this year. It wasn't worse than I thought it was going to be. So, you know, that's I'm happy for the little things, like, you know, not crashing and burning, which is good.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. Crashing and burning is never fun, especially when I don't have Nomex underwear on.
Like Joe and I have talked about, as you get older, we found that mediocrity is a good thing sometimes.
Yeah.
You know?
And of course, a whole lot less dead air this year.
Well, that's true. You know, things have improved. Like, we got the Jingle Cat on the board, so she's kind of helping us out. So that's
cool. Yeah, watch out for him. They can be evil. You just never know when the cat's just going to walk over and knock something over.
Oh, don't I know it?
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, we try to keep the spillable liquids away from the board these days.
Right.
Yeah,
but those cats have a handy, that tail can start going crazy, and the next thing you know, some crazy thing is coming up over the air. You just got to watch them, you know? They have an evil streak in them that's just amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Cats are good like that. They definitely are. So what's on the agenda for you there, James?
Well, it's Christmas Eve, so of course the typical Italian tradition of going for the Feast of the Seven Fishes.
Right.
Which is now hosted by my niece, who just recently had another daughter.
That's kind of cool when it goes down through the family, you know?
Sure.
Yeah. Well, the cool thing was when we first got the house is we did Christmas Eve, and then my brother did Christmas Day, so it was a home and home for you hockey fans out there.
Ah.
Okay.
Yeah, which is great. You know, my wife would sit there and she would cook everything, all the Italian stuff. And of course, she's Jewish, so of course it came out perfect.
That's a great mix. That is a good mix.
Well, as long as you don't see the ambulance pulling up or you don't have stomach pumps in stock and ready to go.
Right?
Well, it's all good. Ambulances, no, but we've had a few fire trucks and a couple of police cars in a couple of years. So.
Oh, sure.
Well,
it's never fun. It's always fun until somebody gets hurt. Then it's hysterical.
It wouldn't be a family gathering unless there was some of that.
Especially for the LaStella family, let me tell you something.
Well, hey, listen, you're not that... I'll tell you this. The more I've... as I've gotten older, I've learned you're not that special in that regard, because a lot of people have that going on. So it's...
Sure.
A year without drama is kind of a nice year, so...
Yeah.
I always say if there's no casualties, no police, no 911 calls, I consider it to be a nice quiet holiday.
Yeah, nice quiet holidays are too boring.
Yeah.
Need to take a wagon out and do a couple of donuts.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, it always is.
Go out and buy a couple donuts.
There's that too, but we're trying to cut down on the calories. As you get older, the calories take a little longer to get off.
Well, that's for sure. But you know what? Hey, they can come over and stay a while. I mean, let's face it. If you can't stuff a couple donuts in your face, at least in the holidays, especially those ones with... Oh, see, now I'm going to start with the red and the green sprinkles and the frosting.
Yeah.
Okay, somebody stop me. All right, I can't leave here for another 5 minutes, and now I got donuts in the head. Donuts.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Well, the feasting starts in a couple of hours, and we just keep going until the end of tomorrow night.
Yikes! All right. Well, wow. Listen, if you can
want to borrow the forklift?
Yeah, if you can talk again
we do the lid box.
If you can talk about again by next week, we will be here again next Sunday. So,
God bless you guys.
All right, Jim.
Dedicated
so
to the hobby. All right. Take care. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas
to all the motor melts.
Thanks, Jim.
Take care.
So long.
Ho, ho, ho.
All right, that was our buddy Jim. And you can usually see Jim, well, now you can't always see him, but on Thursday night on Playing in Traffic with the other gig that I do with Lou Santiago, Louis Lee. It's on Crowdcast now. So.
Oh, we changed again?
It did change a couple weeks ago. I've been doing that thing for 2 years already. Yeah.
2 years?
Yeah, and like my wife said,
time flies.
She said, if I had a guess, I'd say it was 8 months. I'm like, yeah, how time flies, huh?
Wow.
So I guess the way to find that, the easiest way to get that is just go to Facebook and look up Lou Santiago from TV, Lou Santiago's TV, or Garage, I was going to say, Garage Insider. And we usually stream it, simulcast it on the Facebook page as well as on whatever venue we're on at that time, which now...
Right, yeah, you can crack into it that way.
Yeah, and Jim is on there. He'll now you can only have four people on screen, so it's kind of hard. We can't have, extra...
Oh, it's not like the Brady Bunch no more?
No,
it's
not.
We have like 8-9 people there.
And in the beginning, when we had Blab, in the beginning, it was only four. So, when you have a guest on, somebody has to step out sometimes and whatever. So it's the guy we had on this week was, let me think of his name.
Old Soul.
Now, from Old Soul Speed. Yeah, I'm trying to think of it. Ben Bright. Okay. And go look up Old Soul Speed and see the stuff this guy is doing. He's going to come on this show in a couple weeks. I think January 7th with Tentative 4. Actually, I'm going to try and get Marty Shore on next week to talk about his day one book. And like I said, to Billy G earlier. And that'll be a great way to end the year. But Ben will come on and talk about... it's not going to translate to radio as well because on the video thing, we were able to show pictures of what he was doing, which is absolutely phenomenal.
Right, right.
So
by the way, Jim just said... If you're on Facebook, search Playing, no G, N, Traffic. And if you search Playing N Traffic, you can find Lou Santiago's...
I guess they got it both ways, because I have seen it with a G, too. So, you know what? I think it may find it both ways. Whatever,
right.
Yeah.
Search engines are great like that.
Yeah.
Did you mean...
Right, right. Well, no, you idiot. You're wrong. It's like this.
Right. So. No, they're good about, steering you towards, If anybody's ever seen any Seth MacFarlane movies, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
But
just watch the Orville.
But that sounds like a great time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's time to pack the time to clear out the toolbox, pack it with presents,
right?
Get over to meet up with the rest of the family, and off we go.
I know you're going north. I'm going west.
Yeah. But, We're the food, the presents,
the general gaiety and merriment,
the napping on the couch.
Oh yeah, that'll be happening too.
What's really good about my sister's house is that there's another room, so nobody hears me snore.
There you go. So Joe, we're going to go out with a little bit of Jingle Bell Jazz this season.
Jingle Bell Jazz.
Yeah, Merry Christmas and all of that. We'll be back next week, and we'll do more of this for
Happy
our
and a safe one
pre-New Year show. Until then, listen to Kim and Thunder Road.
Thunder Road.
Let's jam up the jazz.
Thank you.